This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. And as I usually do, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You may want to re-listen to this program. It's on my website. And again, there's a weekly meditation that you might find interesting on my website. And recently, we have been covering some material having to do with important personal scriptures that have guided my life, and that list of scriptures can be found on the website as well. Now, the reason we've been covering this information on these important scriptures that have guided my life is because we recently had one of our contacts come to faith in Christ. She found out through John 3:16 that God did love her, and that the Lord Jesus had died to save her, and that based on the promise of scripture, she had eternal life. And I remember when she texted back to my wife and said, "It seems silly to say this, but I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life." So we asked her if it would be possible for her to thank the Lord for dying for her, and she said she certainly could. And we suggested that that be an ongoing occupation in her life, that she do it before she go to bed, she do it when she gets up, and do it whenever there's an opportunity, when she has an opportunity and is thinking about a relationship with the Lord. And that of course does help a person who is newly saved to retain their joy and to be reminded of the blessing that they have in Christ. But this gal knew very little about the scriptures, and so it's true that I wanted her to learn to read and pray, and I'd like to have her start studying the scriptures in a consistent, consecutive way, perhaps by starting with the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Romans or even in the New Testament. I usually don't suggest somebody start in the Old Testament if they have very little understanding of the Bible. But one of the things I thought is that I do have in my life some scriptures that have meant a lot to me and have guided me. And so I wanted to share those with her as we got started, helping her develop her own personal relationship with the Lord and her own journey, you might say, in this new life with Christ. And so one of the things we've emphasized is that the scriptures are divinely inspired, and we've gone over that on this program, and we've tried to show that that's important, just as we would write down in a diary perhaps important events in our life, or we would write down important transactions, business transactions, so that nobody is misled about those transactions. The Lord has written his will down and has revealed himself in the Bible, and while that seems simplistic, it also is important to know that the Lord cared enough for us to give us a written record of what really does please him, to give us a written record of who he is, and to give us a written record of how we can know for sure that after we die, we're going to be in heaven. And so we've emphasized the fact that scriptures are divinely inspired. And when I say scriptures, I'm talking about the scriptures we find in our English Bibles. And then we've said that if a person is truly saved, it's true that Satan is going to come along and attack what you believe. He's going to put doubts in your minds. And who knows where those doubts are going to come from and what kinds of things are going to cause doubts. Usually, doubts come about because we do something we think we shouldn't do, and we wonder if God could still love us if we've done that, and we don't distinguish between the salvation we enjoy, which is unconditional, and the fellowship that we can have with a loving Father, which is conditional. And so we need to be reminded again sometimes of the important scriptures that have led us to the Lord. They have good news in them and bad news. And so I often tell people to find a scripture that gives you the assurance of your salvation and memorize it. And it may be John 3:16, or it just might be John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And we see there's two parts to the verse. And if a person is saved, they always see themselves in the first part of the verse. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life, and it's a verse that gives reassurance when Satan comes along and says, "Oh, that can't be enough. you really can't be sure you're saved. Or you might want to read John 5 and 24 and memorize it. He that heareth my word. Again, the emphasis is upon the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, those are important things for us to remember. The scripture is divinely inspired, and we need to memorize the scriptures that assure us of the truth of the gospel. And then there's going to come a time when people are going to ask you, well, how did you get this faith? And they're going to think that you've got great faith because you have the assurance that you're going to heaven. And they're going to forget that there was that it doesn't take great faith to go to heaven. There's a man by the name of George Mueller who raised orphans in England, and he did it without asking anybody to guarantee his income. And he waited on the Lord to provide for those children. He called it walking by faith. And people said to George Mueller, where did you get such great faith? And George Mueller says, I don't have great faith. I have a little faith in a great God. He said, great faith in a rotten plank laying across a stream will land me in the stream, but a little faith in a good plank will take me across. I have a little faith in a great God. But even then, where do we get this faith? And we need to remember that the scriptures do tell us how we obtain faith. It isn't just a matter of getting emotional about this and trying to believe harder or believe differently. The Bible in Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we present the word of God as it is found in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and will convict a seeking sinner of their need of a seeking Savior, and the two will meet. And so it doesn't say faith comes by praying. There's nothing wrong with praying. It doesn't say faith comes by deciding, but everybody that gets saved does decide that they want to be saved. But it doesn't say that. It says faith comes by hearing. Hearing what God has to say. And when we hear what God has to say, that gives us a basis for trusting in the Lord. Again, this whole thing comes back to whether the Bible is reliable or not. And since it is reliable, when we hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to bring us to the point where we can say, well, God says it, that settles it. And faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, we read, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So not only does our faith come by hearing the word of God, but our assurance, if we lack assurance, our assurance will come by reading the Word of God. Now, I really don't like to see people professing to be saved that aren't sure they're saved, but that does happen sometimes, and probably 1 John 5 and verse 13 was written to Christians who may have had some question about the reality of what they believed. And so it is true that sometimes after we're saved, we need to be reassured. And 1 John 5:13 says that John was trying to do that for the Christians that he was writing to, the people that were in the family of God. And he says, these things I write unto you, the purpose is that you may know that you have eternal life. And friend, I don't like to stop short of that. You really can't enjoy your relationship with the Lord unless you can actually say, I know I'm saved. Remember the contact we recently had said it's silly. It seems silly to be able to say this, but now I know I'm going to heaven. Friend, that's a joy to be able to say that. And to be able to say that is not saying that you're good. It's not saying that you are more righteous than other people. It's saying that you believe God. And I hope you understand that. If you can't say you know you're going to heaven, then the problem is that you can't say you believe God. Remember John 5 and 24? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so there's something again that has been written that we can depend on. And when Paul, or when John writes his epistle, which we're quoting from, he wrote so that they wouldn't sin. He wrote so that their joy would be full, and he wrote so that they would have assurance. And the whole purpose of reading the Bible after we're saved is to be drawn closer to the Lord and to know his will and to be able to carry out his will and to enjoy this confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus. And that confidence is found when we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then, the scriptures produce faith, they produce assurance, and they produce that new life in Christ. One of the scriptures that has been important to me as I've preached the gospel over the years is 1 Peter 1:23, where it says, having been born again, he's writing to Christians, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And notice again, faith comes by hearing. Notice again, our assurance comes through the word of God. Notice again that we're born again. We start a new life with Christ by the incorruptible word, a word which does not die. Everything we do in this life has an end to it, it seems. And death is an end of all people. Apart from the coming of the Lord, we're all going to die. But we've been born again if we have believed God, and we've been born again by seed that will not die. The seed that is put in the ground that produces a crop dies. When we produce children, the people who produce those children ultimately die. But this is seed that does not die, and that's why it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed that will die, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That word never changes. Now, I've had people tell me that I make way too much of the new birth. You don't find it in that many places. Well, friend, you don't need to find it in that many places to be concerned about being born again, because when we find it in John 3, what we read is that you must be born again, and must is a four-letter word, and must is a word that expresses urgency and necessity. And these Christians were now enjoying that new birth, and this was not a doctrine that was just unique to John chapter 3. Peter's writing about this doctrine in 1 Peter 1:23. Friend, he says, having been born again, he's talking to Christians, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that has been a very important scripture in my life. And that's why when I preach the gospel, I like to open the Bible and take people to the passages that show them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That show them that God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because when they believe that, they are believing God. And when they believe God, they are passing from death unto life, and they are going to be sure that they have a home in heaven, having been born again, not by what the preacher said, not by what they did, but by the promises of God, by the incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. And friend, I trust that you're born again. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today, and bless those who will have listened. We don't know their needs, but you do. And we trust that you'll meet those needs for them. We just thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.